Hi everyone and welcome to English Digest. I'm Pat.
I'm Stephanie.
And yesterday we looked at a company's vacation policy, their annual leave and all their other kinds of leave. And today one of our protagonists in our conversation is going to apply for one of those types of leave. And he's going to do it the right way. He's going to give plenty of notice and he's going to make sure that everything, all his work is taken care of while he's gone.
We would call him a good doobie, somebody who's just a good boy. Yeah, this is the kind of employees that managers live to have. As a manager, I had good employees and some that were more troublesome. So you always appreciate people like this who are thoughtful and very proactive. We're going to call him, I think we use a word for him.
Shows he's got initiative.
He's got initiative. Mm. You can't say somebody is initiative, but they have initiative. And we'll explain what that means. But yeah, I can say for the record, I think Ian's a pretty good employee.
Yeah, we'll see as we go along how much thought he's put into making sure everything goes well. So let's check out the dialogue first, then we'll come back and talk our way through it. Good morning, Miss Hess. I need to discuss my upcoming annual leave. I'm planning to take 2 weeks off next month.
Good morning, Ian. Sure, let's talk about it. Have you considered the impact on the Peterson project? It's a critical period for us.
Yes, I'm aware of the project's significance. That's why I've started compiling a detailed handover document. It includes project status, deadlines, and client communication logs.
Good initiative. However, we need to ensure continuity. Who do you propose could step in as your deputy while you're away?
I've already coordinated with Emily, who is familiar with the project and has assisted me on various tasks. I can train her on specific responsibilities before I leave.
That sounds like a solid plan. Please ensure you provide Emily with all necessary information. We can't afford any setbacks on the Peterson project.
Absolutely. I plan to hold several briefing sessions with her and the team to address any concerns and clarify responsibilities.
Good. That's reassuring to hear. Let's also set up a meeting next week to review your document. We need a smooth transition.
Understood. I'll have everything ready before my leave begins. Thank you for your understanding and support.
You're welcome, Ian. I appreciate your thoroughness. We'll finalize the details of your leave once we're confident about the project handover.
So we start off with Ian coming in to... We presume here he's at least going to Miss Hess's desk, maybe into her office. She is certainly his supervisor. And that's maybe why he's addressing her as Ms. Hess rather than on a first name basis, which, you know, if it's a manager, if it's someone higher up, you'd want to be polite here. Seems to fit with Ian's character.
I would say so. For the most part in America, we don't use Mr. and Mrs. or Ms. or anything. It's just first name basis. Even for, the top partners in the firm I was in, we called them by their first names. So it depends. Look around at your company. Your company will have its own kind of vibe and policies and go with the flow. So he's very polite and says, good morning, Ms. Hess. He wants to discuss his upcoming annual leave. Upcoming, as we've talked about in the past, just means something in the future. It's probably around the corner if you're using the word upcoming. He's planning to take 2 weeks off next month. So we are talking about annual leave.
Okay, so Ms. Hess says, good morning, Ian. Sure, let's talk about it. And then she brings up something that is going to be central to this conversation. Have you considered the impact or have you thought about the effect of your vacation on the Peterson project? Now, we never find out exactly what the Peterson project is, but we know it's fairly big. It's quite important. She does say it's a critical period for us. Critical means very important. So she means that the next month, including the time Ian's away, maybe this is going to be the time where they're finalizing everything. Maybe this is where they're going to be doing a lot of like heavy work and a lot of difficult stuff.
Yeah.
And so, it's really important that if possible, Ian is there for it. So she's She's not saying no here, but she is kind of, if you read between the lines of what she says here, she is probably saying, can you take it at another time? This is not the best time, but, you know, she's going to talk about it because she can't exactly say no.
No.
But she can kind of subtly hint that maybe he could think about another time of the year.
I have to confess, I've been a Miss Hess in the past. I had a graphic designer in my group who was really the best of all the graphic designers I had, and she wanted to take a vacation at a really critical time for us. And I was like, oh, can't you wait a couple weeks? But yeah, you have to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's a written policy, but it's definitely not done that you turn down people's requests for annual leave, at least in the jobs I've been in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a critical period. It's a critical or very stressful, very important time for them. Ian says he's aware of the significance. He knows how important it is. And this is when he shows you what kind of worker he is. He says, that's why I've started compiling a detailed handover document. When you compile something, you take different pieces or parts of things and you put them together. We use compile to talk about written documents quite a bit. So if you're working on a research project, at the end, you'll want to compile all your footnotes, for example, and put them together. They're probably in different places as you're writing your research paper, but then you need to compile them or put them together in one place. He's got a handover document. What's that?
Well, handover is the sort of business word for when one person gives their job or responsibilities to another.
Mm-hmm.
It's most frequently used when somebody leaves or maybe gets promoted or moves to a different position and another person takes over. You do a handover with the experienced person telling the new person, this is what the job is. This is everything. It's literally like you are handing something to them, the job,
yeah,
and going, now you take it, like you're handing over a ball in like a football game.
Yeah. So. And it's it can be very detailed.
Mm.
I wrote almost a small pamphlet, a book,
yeah,
when I left my job in New York because I had been there when we started. And so I knew where everything was, where the documents were. No one knew where the documents were as well as I did.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you want to prepare something like that when you go. Or if you're going on vacation, it's a really nice thing to do just to write out, you know, what stage all of the work is in and who to talk to for different pieces of info. So this handover document, he says, includes project status, are the beginning, the middle, the end, the deadlines. Deadlines are really important. That's a period of time when something is due. We always have deadlines for things. Maybe you're on a project at work and your deadline's 3 weeks from today. You know when you have to have it finished and you don't want to go over that or miss a deadline. He also gave them something called client communication logs in the handover document. When you communicate, you pass on some sort of information or knowledge in different ways. It can be written, spoken. You can even use gestures, mm-hmm, using your body language to communicate. That's communication. Communication logs probably just is a document where they've kept a running log or record. That's all that is. A log is a record of calls they've made, maybe,
yeah,
conversations they've had, things,
yeah,
like that.
Things that were decided in meetings, all, yeah, the emails back, mm-hmm, and forth, anything that was like agreed on, that sort,
right,
of stuff. So Miss Hess says, good initiative. So she's saying, well done. That's great. You didn't wait to get asked. And that's the important point here. If you show initiative, you come to your own decision to get something done or make something ready before somebody else tells you to do it. You're doing it on your own kind of, we say on your own initiative. You're doing it with your own like motivation and dedication to your job. So that's what initiative means here. You're thinking for yourself, you're acting for yourself based on your own decisions about this is what I should do because maybe this is how I'd want somebody to do it to me.
Yeah. I can give people advice out there. If you want to be promoted, you need to have initiative.
Mm.
If you don't have initiative, I don't think you're going far. If you have to be told every little thing you need to be doing, that's not a sign of a good employee, in my opinion, as a manager. So he's shown a lot of initiative. She says, however, and this is the but,
mm-hmm,
we need to ensure and make sure we have continuity What is continuity? It just means that things remain the same from start to finish. Pat knows a lot about this because of his acting background.
Mm-hmm.
What does continuity mean in the acting world?
In the acting world, it would mean if you're doing one shot in a movie and the glass the man was drinking from was half full, in the next shot, it can't be either completely full or empty. It has to be the same. And if the man has got three buttons on his shirt, those three buttons still need to be there in the next shot. It's got to be the same time of day. The clock can't have suddenly moved forward 3 hours. But here, what she means is that this client, these maybe we'll call them the Peterson people, they've been talking with Ian, they've been dealing with him for weeks or months, and to suddenly have him disappear, they'll have to work out a new relationship with the next person and make sure they can communicate as easily with this person as they could with Ian. That's what she means. We need to have somebody who knows what they're doing. We can't get stopped because these people don't know how to work with each other, mm-hmm. or the person taking over from Ian has no idea what's necessary or what's been agreed on.
That's troublesome and unsettling, which gives you that feeling of anxiousness. If you're a client and suddenly your window person, as they call them here, your window person has changed, the person that you deal with day to day. So who do you propose could step in, she says, as your deputy while you're away? They use this word deputy a lot in Taiwan, much more so than we do in America, by far. Maybe it's more of a British term.
I'm not sure. We'd probably say it's stand-in. Who's your stand-in?
Yeah.
Or just temporary replacement.
Yeah, who's filling in
who's
for
filling
you
in,
would be what Americans would say. But deputy is very popular in Taiwan, so it's good to know what that is, too. A deputy, in this context, just means a person who is given the power to act for someone else while they're not there.
Mm-hmm.
So here, of course, Ian would be suggesting someone who could fill in or step into his shoes and take over while he's on vacation. Deputy, just so you know as well, if you're in America, it's a title for a law enforcement officer.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of a policeman, it would be a deputy to a sheriff. So that's more of a local police officer, local
county law enforcement. Level kind of thing.
County, yeah, but we use it in different ways. But here, they love to use deputy, I've noticed, because I've worked with a lot of companies in teaching them business English.
There we go. Mm. Okay, so Ian has somebody in mind. Again, he's showing initiative. He's not waiting to be told to pick someone. He says, I've already coordinated with Emily, who is familiar with the project and has assisted me on various tasks. So Emily's already been involved with this thing, and he's coordinated with her. That means he has worked together with her. He's already let her know, or maybe asked her, hey, can you take over for me if I do a detailed handover and give you all my stuff for a couple of weeks? So he's already probably had a meeting or two with her. He's already gone through a lot of stuff, kind of prepared her for what she'll have to do.
That's right. So he's trained her on the specific responsibilities that
he can train her. He's already given her a general idea. Now he's going to get a bit more specific as long as his leave gets agreed on.
Yeah, and he probably wanted to get his boss, Miss Hess, her sign off on Emily. Maybe she has somebody else she wants. So she says, that sounds like a solid plan. If something's solid, it's good. You can count on it. It's dependable. If someone's a solid employee, again, they're dependable. They're the kind of employee that bosses are looking to have. So it sounds like a good plan. Please ensure, again, make sure you provide Emily with all necessary information. That's one of the most important things you can do. Make sure that whoever's filling in for you or stepping into your shoes knows exactly what they need to do and where any information they need might be found. Because sometimes people go on these vacations and you can't reach them.
Yep.
So make sure that you don't put your company into a bad situation.
As Miss Hess says, we can't afford any setbacks on the Peterson project. A setback is some kind of problem, a difficulty that maybe delays you. It may be like any progress you've made kind of goes backwards a bit, or it certainly will be delayed and the smooth running won't happen. That's a setback. It's not always permanent. It doesn't have to be completely terminal. It stops everything and kills it. It's just some kind of drawback or problem that just delays things and makes things more difficult.
Yeah, so Ian agrees with that. He says, I plan to hold several briefing sessions with her. We use this word a lot, especially in British English. Briefing, or I'm following the brief. I watch a lot of UK television. We don't use that so much in America.
Okay.
But if you're briefing somebody on something, you're kind of telling them about the project. You're giving them an overview, letting them know what they can expect. So he's going to hold several briefing sessions with her and just get her up to speed with what she needs to do. And the team, he's also going to meet with the team to address any concerns and clarify responsibilities. If you clarify something, you make something that's maybe not quite as clear, a little bit more clear to people you're talking to. Can you clarify that? Can you give me some more details? Can you make sure it's crystal clear to someone who you're talking to? So a briefing session, he's got that plan too.
Yeah, he'll sit down and tell her, this is what's going on. This is what you'll probably need to cover while I'm away. If, you know, if there's anything that comes up, here's where to look, that kind of thing. And Ms. Hess says, good, that's reassuring to hear. If something's reassuring, it takes care of your worries. You are maybe a little concerned about something, but if you hear something reassuring, then you go, oh, good. The problem that I was a bit worried about or that I was anticipating isn't going to be a problem.
Yeah. A comforting is another word you could use there. It's a synonym, comforting. But reassuring sounds more professional to use than comforting. So let's also set up a meeting next week to review your document. She wants to see what that looks like, and we need a smooth transition. A transition is moving from one sort of situation to the next. You can transition from one job to another. You can transition from teaching English like Pat and I are doing. We're going to transition to our Chinese teacher in a few minutes. So it's just going from one situation to another smoothly, where people aren't kind of thrown off by what you're doing.
So Ian says, understood. And we often just use this single, it's the PP, but it's more like an adjective form. And it just means I understand. So if you just say, yep, understood, that means I get it.
Yeah.
And he then says, I'll have everything ready before my leave begins. Thank you for your understanding and support. So he's very pleased that everything is sorted and she will pretty much agree to his leave. They haven't actually come out and said it, but it looks like, yes, his leave is going to take place as he would like.
I have to mention here, because Pat's one of our writers, I love when you guys do this. You put in that one word, understood. It looks strange to people who are learning English for the first time, right?
Because, but it is natural dialogue.
But that's how we say it. Yeah. We say, you know, instead of saying, oh, I understand what you're saying, understood. Mm-hmm. I've already got it in my brain. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, there was one in one of the previous lines. He just says, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just an adverb. It would Microsoft would say, that is not a complete sentence. You know, there's no subject. There's no verb.
And we would say, wrong.
Yeah, it's absolutely fine.
That's kou yu. That's how we speak. So understood. So you need to get that under your belt, I think. Get familiar and comfortable with using that. You'll hear it a lot, especially if you're watching a lot of TV or movies.
Yeah.
You'll hear people say, understood. And you usually are saying it to someone in authority, maybe a boss.
And you're confirming that you get what's going on.
Yeah, understood.
So Ms. Hess then says, you're welcome, Ian. I appreciate your thoroughness. Mm-hmm. So thoroughness is a noun. It's the noun form of thorough. If you are thorough, then you make sure everything is taken care of. You don't ignore or forget about any details. You give everything plenty of attention, make sure everything is covered in every possible way. And so if you're showing thoroughness, it just means you are being thorough.
And that is how you would say it in England.
Mm-hmm.
We say thorough, which is so much longer. I like your thorough. We say thorough. But if you are thorough, man, you just make sure all the little details are right there. You don't miss anything. I love people who are thorough or thorough, as you like to say. I love that. And says, Ms. Hess, she says, we'll finalize the details of your leave once you're confident or we're confident about the project handover. So she wants to make sure everything is just exactly right. All her ducks are in a row, as we would say in a slang form there. To finalize just means you're finishing the last piece of something. Could be a contract. It could be vacation plans. It could be anything. We're going to finalize the details later once that handover document's ready. Well, right now, we are going to hand over the time to our Chinese teacher. She's going to be talking to you about some of these phrases, she or he, I'm not sure who it is today. And then we'll be back to continue talking about useful expressions and one discussion question. Stay tuned.
听众朋友大家好，我是安娜。我们昨天带大家看到 AMC 员工请假的规章，那些 policies， 然后有好多不同的价别，昨天应该收获很多哦。不过今天我们要看一个对话，是谁呢？是 Ian。Ian 因为他要请假的关系啊，所以他跟他的主管 Miss Hess， 这个 Miss Hess 呢，当然如果身为主管是底下的部署要请假，他可能会考量一些事情。那对于请假的员工来说，他也知道这个工作可能会中断了，所以不管在对话当中或者是用字当中，既然是一个下对上的关系，就要特别注意礼貌啦，或者是用词。那当然如果你身为主管的话，可能你会特别注意这个工作当中这一些 duty 或者是一些 project 是不是可以完成，工作有人接吗？ continuity 接得下去吗？那你的代理人 deputy 是谁呢？然后你的东西是不是都有详细的交接了？好，我们今天就来看这个对话。首先当然在一开始的对话当中一定会有一些称谓啊，或者是这个打招呼。那不过呢，Ian一开始就是说啊，我可能打算在下个月要请休假两周。诶，这个不是两天呢，是两周诶，几乎是半个月就没了。所以在一开始 Ian 的这个提出当中，我们中文可以说，我们或许会说，诶，那个 Miss Hess， 我想要请假，想要，诶，英文不能直接用 want， 因为这种有点太感觉自己想要怎样就怎样，不行。你看一下 Ian 在这里啊，第一个 Ian 当中的第二句，他用的是我计划要这么做，当然对方也可能不核准啊，但是我计划要这样， I'm planning to do something， 用 plan 这个字就不会用 want， 我想要休假，这样很没有礼貌的。那当然主管一开始想说，诶，对方要请假的话，那工作方面是如何呢？所以在第一个 Miss Hess， 请注意一下在第三句，诶，那你有没有想过我们现在有一个很重要的 The Peterson Project， 你有考虑过可能会有一些 impact， 有一些影响吗？你有想过吗？你考虑过了吗？你现在跟我提出，那之前有思考过这件事吗？在时态上就会用现在完成式，因为我们是现在的对话，可是之前那个动作曾不曾发生过？ Have you considered the impact on something？ 因为这个案子很重要，目前呢是个关键时刻， a critical period。 所以Ian当然回答就说， OK， 我知道这个专案的重要性。可如果我们说 I know, 哦 ,OK, 这也可以。我们现在看到第二个Ian的第一句，它的用词是 I'm aware of。aware 这个字啊，这个形容词它是有意识到，了解到， OK, 我有了解到这 project 的这个 significance, 甚至它连重要性的 importance 都换成这个 significance, 是相当重要的。所以Ian他有做好了一个很详细的交接文件。也出现在同样这个第二个Ian的第二句的地方，那这边就有提到所谓的交接。交接这个动作的话，其实就是你把手上的东西给了别人，当然你可以用 hand over 这个字，不过我们在接下来呢还会提到另外一个字，在后面呢会提到 transition, 这个也是一个交接。那准备好了一个详细的交接文件之后，里面就会有所有的专案状态啦，截止日期啦，沟通记录啦，等等的。那这个时候主管听到一定很开心啦，甚至连交接文件都已经处理好了，所以就给他一个称赞。我们看一下第二个 Miss Hess, 他说的是 Good initiative。 诶，我觉得你在工作上的 initiative, 一开始的起始的主动性是很不错的，不过一定要确保一个工作上的 continuity,所以一定会有一个职务代理人。接下来 Miss Hess, 第二个 Miss Hess 从第二句跟第三句这边就很重要。首先工作的连续性啊，在第二句最后面的 continuity, 工作要接得下去。第三句当中的这个 deputy, 就是职务代理人。就算是学生身份要请假，有时候我们会有打扫啊，那打扫是谁要帮我做呢？我的 deputy 是谁呢？就是代理人，就会用这个字。 deputy。那如果说我们要确保这件事情会发生，这边的动词就要特别抓出来。同样在第二个 Miss Hess 第二句的地方，动词 ensure, E-N-S-U-R-E, 后面就直接加确定会发生的那个事情，或者是 that 加完整子句也可以。所以确保工作的连续性，就是确保工作继续得以连续，这件事情 continuity 会发生。好，那这个时候 Ian 就回答，哎，连代理人都已经找好了，就是 Emily。 哇哦，所以这个时候他的主管可能就不太能够拒绝他的休假咯。所以我们来看一下第三个 Miss Hess， 他同样也给了 Ian 一个很正面的鼓励。 That sounds like a solid plan。 Solid 这个字要特别圈出来了，因为这个字我们会觉得它就是固体啦，或者是很坚固的意思。其实在大考的学测第一大题当中啊，最喜欢考这样子的搭配词，也就是当我们在背 solid 的时候，我们会背固体或很坚固，可是当它跟 plan 搭配在一起的时候，它指的会是一个可靠的意思， a solid plan。 所以像这种形容词啊，或某一些特定的副词，我们要特别注意。好，那当然主管一定会特别提到一个这个工作的continuity 连续性啦，或者是已经有职务代理人啦，所以这个时候呢，在第三个 Miss Hess 其实就是要再次的告诉 Ian， 工作上是必须要很在乎的，因为在这个专案上面没有办法忍受任何的挫败。第三个 Miss Hess 后面第三句的地方，我们把 afford 这个字抓出来。 afford 本来是负担得起，就是你有钱买得起，例如 I can afford a notebook, I can afford a laptop, 我买得起笔电哦，哇，好几万。可是在这里的 afford 就是能不能承担，能不能容忍的意思。所以在这个 project 上面呢，哦，这个主管是非常注意的，因为在这个 project 很重要，不能够 afford any setbacks, 不能忍受有任何的挫败。 OK, 所以接下来在第四个 Ian 这边当然是附和着主管说的话， absolutely, 一定的，这是一定的。那接下来呢，也跟主管呢确认一下，他会跟职务代理人进行会议，来解决所有的疑虑啊，厘清职责。在第四个 Ian 的第二句，要特别把一个动词 address 抓出来。address 如果不念 address 的时候啊， address 它念动词的时候，它变成有演说的意思，可是它其实也有解决问题、处理事情的意思。所以 address 其实就是 deal with, 处理一些 concern and clarify responsibilities。 好，那这样听到这里的话，主管一定觉得很安心啦。所以第四个 Miss Hess, 我们再把这里的 reassuring 抓出来，因为这个动词跟刚刚我们说确保的 ensure 常会搞混哦。 reassure 这个及物动词是使人放心，所以 Miss Hess 她的回答 that's reassuring to hear, 听到你这么说令人感到放心。我们知道使如何如何的动词，它的 ing 型或者是 pp 都可以成为形容词。换句话说， Miss Hess feels reassured， 我们可以用 pp 来修饰 Miss Hess 的心理状态，她就觉得很放心了。好，所以既然这样工作交接完成，就可以好好请特休了，真的是太棒了。那我们昨天提到的请假的规则，还有我们今天对话当中谈到的这些用词，希望大家都学会咯。我是安娜，我们下次见。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
So we're going to start here by looking at some useful expressions.So what Ian was doing in this dialogue was asking for some leave.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Hess was also asking him if he could do a few things to make sure everything is ready for that leave. So they were making requests.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of polite language you can use here. And a lot of it uses sort of modal verbs, auxiliary verbs,
yeah.
could, might, you know, would you, that kind of thing. So you'll often see these in these kinds of requests. So,Could you possibly lend me the book you mentioned yesterday? Now, if it was maybe a closer friend, you're just like, hey, can you lend me that book?
Yeah.
You know, or hey, give us that book for a bit, that kind of thing. But could you possibly is the polite way to make this request seem like you are, it would really be a favor. You would appreciate it and you would like to be polite about it.
Yeah, but if I were talking to you, I'd say, hey, can you lend that book to me? But could is much better. A can is not incorrect. It's just more casual.
Yeah.
I have some clients, former clients, they've asked me, like, is that wrong? No, it's not wrong, but it sounds better if you do this. May I go to the bathroom? I have to tell you, when I was a little kid growing up, we would never say that, May. No, little kids say, can I go to the bathroom? You know, so as you progress in your levels of English, that'll change. But yeah, we would just say, can I go? But may I go?
Mm-hmm.
Will you do me a favor? Can you do me a favor? Is what we would usually say to friends. Will you? Could you do me a favor? Would you do me a favor? They're all correct.
Yeah, and adding the favor part instead of will you feed my cat? Can you feed my cat? That just increases the level of politeness and shows that you would really appreciate this thing being done. And it kind of implies that, like, I'll do you a favor sometime as
well. I'll return it,
I'll buy you something nice or I'll do something similar.
And depending on how you phrase it, it could sound like you're begging them, you know, will you please do me a big favor? A big favor, if you're asking quite a bit, will help a bit.
Yeah.
But
in the UK, we must say, hey, can you do me a solid?
Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah.
A solid. When you say do me a solid means do me a big favor. But in the UK, it's become do me a solid.
I have heard that. Yeah. And you'll hear it in TV shows and
a
movies.
A lot. Yeah.
Yeah. He did me a solid. Somebody who did a favor for someone in the past, he did me a solid. Okay, number three, is there any chance of you teaching me how to bake those cookies? Is there any chance? Is there any possibility you could give me that recipe? Is there any chance? Yeah. Is there a chance? You don't even have to say any. Is there a chance you might be willing to teach me how to bake those delicious, delicious cookies?
And it does mean people are more likely to say yes, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So let's move on to our discussion question. What steps would you take if you were planning a 2-week vacation from work? I mean, I guess one thing would be just make sure you ask in plenty of time.
Yeah.
And we even have a rule here. If you need that much time off work, you need to apply a month in advance.
Oh, yeah.
Because the worst thing would be for people to suddenly, you're not going to be here for 2 weeks?
Yeah.
And that starts like tomorrow. Like, there's no time for anybody to prepare, to find substitutes, to make other plans, to figure out what they need you to do before you go and what can wait until you get back.
Yeah, it's different if someone passes away and you have to go home quickly for that, which has happened to me since I've been here. But when I know I want to go on vacation, I have to tell people in advance. We're scheduled or booked at least a month in advance. And I know it affects my partners, you know, and so, yeah, that's the only way to work, in my opinion.
Yes.
Give people lots of time so that they can make other arrangements. And if you can help them, even better. Like, I'll have talked to Tom, for example, and say, you know, I'm going to be gone. What days are you available so I can help with the scheduling? So, yeah, all of these things are important if you want to be looked upon as a good employee. Or as I said earlier, is a good doobie, which just means a person who does what they're supposed to do. It's kind of an old-fashioned saying that we used when I was growing up. Anyway.
So that we're out of time.
We're out of time.
We're out of time for today. Thanks very much. We hope you've learned a few things as well as a few nice bits of idiom there as well.
Slang, yeah.
Yep. Thanks very much for listening, everyone. For English Digest, I'm Pat.
I'm Stephanie.
And we'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.